Sarah was 65 years old when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It was many years ago now, but I remember sitting with her in her living room on the sofa. Sarah had been a very driven person, a doctor, risen up in hospital administration. She had worked hard in college and medical school. She thought she'd never marry, that she'd be devoted to her career, but she met a man who was a doctor, and together they had such similar values. They married, they had two children, they sent their children to the best schools and got them into the best colleges, and everything about her life looked impressive. But as she sat beside me on the sofa, she wept. Not because of her diagnosis, although that was frightening. But she said, "Kate, I feel as if I've lived my whole life always wanting more, wanting better. If I was in a position, I wanted a higher position. If I got a good grade, I wanted to get a better grade. If I was admitted to a medical college, then I wanted a better one. Everything was always more, more, more. My whole life was a striving. And I don't remember just sitting still and being thankful. I can't remember a time when I wasn't rushing and doing and stretching and trying to achieve more, like I was trying to earn the love of everyone around me and of God. But what if I already had it? There's something about human nature that makes us want to always need more. Our whole consumer culture is based upon this nature, that we're going to want to buy more, even when we don't need more. I don't know about you, but I go to Target thinking I'll get one thing, and I end up with a shopping cart full of stuff. We just want more and more and more. And the disciples were just the same way. In today's gospel, the disciples are walking beside the Son of God, the incarnation of God. And do they say, "Wow, let me just be here and listen to him"? No, listen. What do they say? "Increase our faith. Give us more." The disciples also at different points with Jesus say things like, "We want to be the ones on your right and your left hand at the table in heaven." Or they say, "Which one of us is the greatest?" All the time they're wanting more, they're competitive, they're exhausting, just like us. Now, when the incarnation of God talks to people about God, the incarnation always has to use images, because our brains are small. We can't understand the maker of the universe. So Christ had to point to God to help us get glimpses of God, to pull back the veil for a moment. And often, Jesus used images that would have been very familiar to the people of his day in the Galilee. So most of the images are from nature, because they walked around in nature all the time. So when the disciples say, "Increase our faith," Jesus answers them with two little parables. It's amazing how the simplest of stories can contain such vast truths. The first parable is about a mustard seed and a mulberry tree. But I'll get to the mulberry tree in a second. We never give the mulberry tree its due credit. Have any of you held a mustard seed in your hand? They're these tiny light brown things. They're so little, they look almost like a piece of dirt. And if you have one in the palm of your hand and you blow on it, it will fly away. It's that light. When they say increase our faith, Jesus says, if you have faith or trust in God, the size of a mustard seed, that small, that you could blow away, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now, let me tell you about the mulberry tree. The mulberry tree does not get enough face time. Mulberry trees are born and raised, they are grown and raised in arid lands, in dry places. And because of that, they have a huge root system because they're searching for water. They can grow as tall as 80 feet, and their root system is so aggressive that they are outlawed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Phoenix, Arizona, Las Vegas, Nevada, and El Paso, Texas. Why are they outlawed? Because their root systems are so fierce that if you plant them next to a home, they will uproot and disrupt the foundation of the home. Their roots go horizontal, and they have what's called a taproot that goes vertical, and those roots are deep. So when Jesus says uprooting a mulberry tree, he was talking some serious uprooting there. And then taking that mulberry tree, which grows in a desert-like climate, and putting it in the ocean and making it grow there, that was big-time movement. That was power beyond human comprehension, beyond Superman. Jesus was also saying, you don't need to increase your faith. No one increases their faith. But like a seed, you can grow it. You can't consume it. You can't make yourself take it from God. You can't ask God to give you more. I mean, you can ask, but what you do is you grow it. Your faith, your trust in God, it's not a vending machine. It's not a fast food restaurant. It's more like a plant. Have you ever said to your plant, grow, or increase your size? Does that work? How do we grow a plant? We work to provide the right soil for the plant. We're not in control of the growth at all, but we can provide the soil for the plant through the work that we do. There is a phrase in the church that I want you to learn that I love. It's in Latin. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Say it after me. Lex orandi, lex credendi. One more time. Lex orandi, lex credendi. It means the law of prayer or practice is the law of belief. The law of practice is the law of belief. In other words, in our tradition, we don't so much say, hey, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're going to have a cosmic experience and then everything will be great from there on. If you have a cosmic experience, that's wonderful. But we don't grow our faith by waiting for some kind of lightning bolt. Instead, we grow our faith through the practice, through the coming of up here to the altar rail, through serving. And I'll tell you more about the work that we do that makes the soil fertile so that that mustard seed can grow. Jesus then goes on to another parable. And I need you to understand when I talk about this parable that slavery was part of the fabric of their world. So Jesus talks about a slave and a master in this parable, which is disturbing to us now, and it should be. We don't believe in slavery, thank God, anymore. But he said, if you're a master and your slave comes in from the field, you don't say to the slave, here, sit down and eat dinner with me. You say to the slave, cook the meal, serve the meal, and then you can eat. And what Jesus is saying is when it comes to God, we're not the ones in charge. Now, don't worry, he also says we're children and we're friends. We are free. But when it comes to God, we're not equals with God. We can't just say, I want to sit down with you, Jesus, at your right or left hand. We got to do the work first. We got to do the tasks that God has given us. We've got to practice the faith. And in so doing, we will be invited to the table. We will. But the way that we get invited, the way that we grow our faith, is through the practice. Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of practice is the law of belief. If someone doesn't believe in God and they come to me, I ask them to practice the faith for at least 3 to 6 months and then come back to me. And oftentimes there will be some glimpse of the presence of God that has happened to them because of the work. Now, the practice of the faith can be boiled down to three simple things that all begin with a T. Since we live in the age of the soundbite, I better make it simple, right? If you want to practice the faith, you need to spend time with God. The first of the three T's is time. Imagine if you got married and said to your spouse, I love you so much and I'll see you next year. Or I'll see you at Christmas and Easter. How about that? How would your marriage go? How can we expect to have a relationship with God and not spend any time with God? Now you're here. You're here. You're spending time with God. This is good. Another thing you can do is start your own prayer life and find out how to spend time with God by yourself. And if you've never done it before, try this. For 10 minutes, once a day, put down your phone and don't do anything. Sit still. Just 10 minutes. If that's too hard, try 5. Look outside at the trees. Look at an icon or something beautiful. Just be. The darkness wants to prevent you from ever spending time with God. Have you ever noticed how many excuses you come up with to not get here to church? The darkness doesn't want you taking care of yourself spiritually. Try it. Put down the phone for 10 minutes. You could pull your car off to the side and park and just look out the window for 10 minutes. It's not going to ruin your day or upset anything in your schedule. I'm sure you can figure it out. Believe me, it will deeply impact your life, but you have to practice it for a long time. I keep telling you guys it's like water dripping on a rock. Remember that? It shapes the rock, but you're not exactly sure when. That's what the practice of the faith is like. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Time. The second of the three elements is treasure. If you have income, if you do not have income, if you are a student, you do not have to give. But if you have some kind of income coming in from jobs or investment or anything, you give a portion of it back to God. You give to the church. You can give to Greenpeace or Habitat for Humanity. You just give. But you make it part of the practice of your life, written into your life. I love the one guy said, you know what, instead of saying we give 10%, we should say we get 90%. Remember, it all belongs to God, and you're only here because of God. So practice giving of treasure. And then the final part is your talent. You've been made by God to do something very unique. You have a gift, a superpower that is your own. Find it and use it. On Friday, I did the funeral for Susan Sulzbacher, the daughter of I.M. Sulzbacher. I.M. Sulzbacher was a member here at the cathedral, and with the cathedral's help, he built the Sulzbacher Center, which is a homeless shelter less than a mile from here. At the funeral for this woman, Susan, we had a tent, and it was like the kingdom of heaven. We had people of all walks of life, all races, all economic strata. We had homeless people and people in wheelchairs, and we had people from all over. One man got up to speak. He was an addict. He walked around on the corners here in the heart of Jacksonville for years. He would see Susan picking up men on the corner by the liquor store and bringing them to the homeless shelter. So one day he said to her, "I want to be your friend." And she said, "Douglas, I want to be your friend too, but if you're going to be my friend, you got to get clean." He said, "Really?" He didn't stop drinking that day, but the next day he did. And she walked with him, and she counseled him, and she got him job interviews and training, and he ended up being a counselor at the Sulzbacher Center. And even when she was going through chemotherapy and in her 70s and bald, she still went to the corner to pick up men and deliver them to the Sulzbacher Center. Can you imagine? And then another woman got up who had tattoos all up her neck, and she talked about how she was a drug addict and she got pregnant, and Susan sat with her while she cried for 3 hours and helped her put her life back together. And she has a job and her daughter is okay. Now that was a woman who used her talent. But what is yours? And if you don't know, come and talk to us. We'll get you in a discipleship group where you can figure out what God is calling you to do, because God has great plans for each one of you. Practice the faith. Give God your time. Give God your talent. Give God your treasure. And I promise you, that faith will grow until you are so filled with awe and so blessed to be part of this world, as broken as it is. Say it with me now. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Amen.